The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Where the dawn of the east meets the twilight of the west, and the cool of the north touches the calm of the south, the transcendent power of God touches earth in the humility of love. Where the head of the Charles reaches out to the heart of the country, we gather for ordered worship upon this magnificent Baccalaureate Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God.
And loving God, we thank you for the completion of another academic year and for giving us the opportunity, short though it may have been, to play a part in the lives of our students and our new graduates. We are grateful for your guidance and love as we share in this important work. Please bless and guide our graduates as they reach this end and as they chart new beginnings. May what they have learned by being here with us allow them to truly be their authentic selves in this world. May what we have learned from them enable us to do the same. Please help them to use all that they have learned here to make the world a better place, to serve others in true solidarity and kinship, to seek ways to help the poor, the marginalized, and those who are suffering, and to always seek the greater good. God, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to build our community with these young people while they are here. Though they are leaving our campus, we know that they will always be with us as a part of the Boston University family. And we ask that the bonds that have been created here remain strong despite any distance. We ask all this in your name and the name of your Son. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat.
A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and 9 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. The word of the Lord.
Please join me in prayer. O eternal God, bless all schools, colleges, and universities, and especially Boston University, that they may be lively centers for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom, and grant that those who teach and those who learn may find you to be the source of all truth. Amen.
It is particularly fitting, as I introduce our baccalaureate speaker, that the scripture verse that I read moments ago concludes with the invocation to extend hospitality to strangers. Our baccalaureate speaker today is Dean of Marsh Chapel, Reverend Robert Allen Hill. In one of our earliest meetings, Dean Hill spoke of fostering the chapel as a place of hospitality. His idea of hospitality was and remains rooted in Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Peter writes, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." All of their years of their time here, Bob and Jan Hill have offered hospitality joyfully, generously, and constantly. Bev and I have cherished Bob and Jan's friendship and support and admired their devotion to our community. Reverend Hill has been our community's comfort and guide during the worst moments we have experienced. I think of the awful days following the Marathon bombing when we learned that our student, Lingzi Liu, had been killed. Sadly, there are too many other examples, but we are prayerfully grateful that Dean Hill has found the strength to minister to the brokenhearted, the bereaved, and the broken. I commend his biography to you in the program, but more than that, I commend his character to you, Dean Hill.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Class of 2023, we celebrate your success. We honor our university, excellent university leadership, presidential, provostial, decanal, professorial, and all. We welcome your family and friends. And we pause just for a moment to think together, to ponder the meaning of it all. Now, often, usually at this point or through this week, I have been the person guiding the guest speaker and saying gently but clearly, lightly but hopefully effectively, you only have 15 minutes, only 15. Now the shoe is on the other foot and it pinches a little bit, but briefly think with me about three high moments in life and in the experience of this class. We'll use the words learning, virtue, and piety, but we mean lifelong learning, social virtue, and transformative piety. Most of you will be aware that at Boston University we have an inherited tradition, whence we do not know, that no one should step upon the seal embedded in our plaza unless they have completed their coursework, on pain perhaps of not graduating or not graduating on time or some other malady, perhaps of greater dimension, we don't know. And you, as I, may have some question about or disregard for that kind of tradition or legend, if you will, or haunted saying. But for a moment this morning, let me upend my own disregard and maybe yours for such, because it may well be that our students and others, oddly enough, have a point. They're chary of, they're wary of stepping upon, scuffing, treading upon, treading lightly upon that circle and that seal. And there may be a reason, maybe a subconscious reason, but a reason nonetheless for that. Because the words embedded in that seal are potent. They have power, they have electricity, they have a kind of juice to them, and one needs to be careful, if you will. And they're embedded in scripture and history, this sort of caution about touching, whether it's the Midas touch or Lot's wife, all through, we're just going to pause for a moment and see whether in these words there's something that merits, that warrants this inherited tradition. Life is full of things we cannot see, full of things we cannot understand, full of things we cannot control, and so it's haunted, if you will, in that sense. The first of them is learning, and we mean by that lifelong learning, learning that continues. Mr. John Wesley, who greets you as you come through the portal of Marsh Chapel, he's in stone just above the doorway, guided his early Methodists, the movement out of which Boston University was born in 1839 and 1869, to unite the pair so long disjoined, knowledge and vital piety, learning and holiness combined, truth and love for all to see, a collaborative word, a kind of early BU, one BU moment. You know, we had in 2018, right in this sanctuary, a reminder of the disappointment on the one hand and the generosity on the other that allow us to grow together in a lifespan of learning. We had to my right Mr. John Lewis, now a blessed memory, who knew of disappointment in the civil rights movement but persevered. We had to my left, not yet quite the household name that he became, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who knew about the struggle in science and health. And we had standing in this pulpit Carmine Julien Cruz Soto, the mayor of San Juan. You may remember some of the graceless things said about Puerto Rico and San Juan in those years, and she stood here with her chin up and her eyes bright, and she spoke a word or three directly and clearly. You know, life brings us disappointments, class of 2023, and when they come, we need to move through them and learn with them. You've studied Shakespeare. Wesley came 200 years after Shakespeare, but you know his ability to paint in words what can happen. The hard points in life, his 66th sonnet say, tired with all of these, for restful death I cry, as to behold desert, a beggar born, and needy nothing, trimmed in jollity, purest faith unhappily forsworn, gilded honor shamefully misplaced, maiden virtue rudely strumpeted, right perfection wrongfully disgraced, and strength by limping sway dislodged, art made tongue-tied by authority, folly doctor-like, controlling skill, simple truth miscalled simplicity, captive good attending captain ill. Tired with all of these, from these would I be gone, save that to die I leave my love alone. It was that kind of love captured in poetry that inspired John Wesley to gather his band of Methodists in the lifespan that he led, and to guide them as we are doing today to live in the world and also for the world, to be able to commence, as this class is doing, from one point and take our experience of hard things and turn them into a kind of generosity, because we learn much from generosity. Wesley taught his early followers to give away 10% each month of what they had earned. And over time, that made a difference. In this country, 128 schools and colleges, beginning in Boston, ending in Southern California, and all the way in between. That is, he said, do all the good you can, at all the times you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can, do all the good you can. Lifelong learning includes a measure of disappointment and also a measure of generosity. And we commend class of 2023, these two, for you as you move on into life, as you commence. The second is virtue, but by that we mean a social virtue. It's our inheritance. It's our treasure here at Boston University and in similar places. You know, you as a class have had the strength to see virtue rewarded in the things you've endured. In 2 years of a pandemic, the consequences of which still, to some measure, continue, the very narrow and nearly calamitous experience of January 6th, 2021, which to some degree impacted all of us. And then through these years, the growing, we have a better vocabulary today to recognize and speak about what we've been through, anxiety and depression, loneliness and disconnection. We've been able to move through with a kind of virtue. Class of 2023, don't be misled at this point. Virtue matters. Virtue counts. Real leadership, national or other, includes the space for personal virtue that leads to and grows out a collective, a common, a shared virtue. Well, Mr. Wesley is here at Marsh Chapel, but also for those to my right in the rear, we have in the glass, not in the stone, a figure whose name you'll recognize, the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. I think they referred to him as Honest Abe. He developed a kind of virtue and gave of himself, of course. Just remember the beauty of his most important paragraphs. And here the anaphora to begin with and the epistrophe to end with. Here the gravity and realism with which he begins, but then also the hope with which he begins. With which he ends. It's a windy day in a plane in an open field in Gettysburg, and he says, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met here on a battlefield of that war, and we've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far beyond our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the great, to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is for us to be dedicated here to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that great cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Dear ones, don't be misled. Virtue matters, personal, leading to social, which brings us to our third word embedded in the seal out front, and that is maybe the strangest to our ear, the least common. It's still in our, may not be in our lexicons as much as it is still in our lives, but there it is, piety. And we mean by that transformative piety. There's no greater voice affirming that kind of piety than that of Martin Luther King, who's not in sculpture and is not in glass, but is in our monument out front. He who gave us a sense of what the power of transformative piety could be and could be like. My father was born in the same year as King and studied 3 years here at the time King was a student himself. My dad didn't have a father in his home, so he was raised by a single mom. But you know, not all parents are natural parents. Some of them are relational. And when he came, he met a professor whose name was Allan, A-L-L-A-N, Knight Chalmers, a homiletics professor. And they became close, fast friends. And my dad found a relational parent, if you will, so that when my mom and dad welcomed their firstborn into the world, that would be the rascal in front of you right now, the fellow speaking to you here. They gave him a middle name, A-L-L-A-N. Not all parents are natural. Some are relational. King, just think of the epigrams that carry you forward. When it gets dark enough, you can see the stars. Just call me a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hatred cannot drive out hatred, only love can do that. Faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. I believe that unadorned truth and unconditional love will have the last word, and especially dream. You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you gonna have a dream come true? You've got to have a dream. So here at Marsh Chapel right now, we're thinking of our 75th anniversary in a couple of years, and we have some dreams. We'd like to see some of the spiritual inheritors, the children, if you will, of King come and be with us. Will it happen? We don't know. You have to have a dream. So maybe it will be Raphael Warnock or Marilyn Robinson or Deval Patrick or Barack Obama or who knows. We lean forward in the motion and the capacity to express a transformative love given us by Martin King. You know, he used to finish his sermons, and we'll finish ours today in similar fashion, remembering Marian Anderson. Marian Anderson was maybe the greatest voice of the 20th century. She was awarded an honorary degree here at Boston University in 1960. And with King, she had a capacity to dream. By the way, sometimes you also, as Nina Tassler reminded us in 2018, you have to be able to, as she said wisely, eloquently, you need to be able to edit your dreams. Marian Anderson was raised by a single mom who worked 12-hour days cooking and cleaning and singeing her eyebrows and scorching her arms. And once Anderson, a beautiful black opera singer, was at the top, maybe toward the end of her career, she was asked what the happiest moment in her life was. And they said, was it singing for the kings and queens of England? No. Was it when Carnegie Hall was full to overflowing? No. Was it when Toscanini said, a voice like yours comes along once a century? No. Was it when Sibelius of Finland said, I don't have a roof high enough to accommodate your voice? Was it that? And she said, no. She said, no, the happiest moment in my life was when I could go down to the kitchen where my mother was working and look her in the eye and say, Mother, you're done. We can go home now. She recognized, as some of the class of 2023 will be doing today, that somebody helped us get here. Somebody helped us emerge and become who we are. Take a moment, I know you will, to thank those various forms of support and parents around you. Well, the seal has given us its haunted gift, something of learning, a lifelong learning, something of virtue, social virtue, and something of piety, transformative piety. As you leave today, nod a bit to Lincoln, nod a bit to Wesley, nod a bit to King, but more so, keep those words, these words with you. They are words fit not just to make a living, but to make a full life. We commend you, we salute you, and we are with you and for you, and do all that, or just take the scripture with you. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, never lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. Class of 2023, bon voyage. Bon voyage, bon voyage. Amen.
Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service when we turn our hearts and minds to prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, we offer our thanks and praise on this day of graduation for our graduates, their families and friends, this university and its faculty and staff, and the world. Creator of all, we ask that you help us to see and understand the ways in which we are deeply interconnected with the world around us, recognizing the ways in which our actions not only affect our human neighbors, but the intricate web of life. God of learning, we ask you to bless the community of Boston University, including the students, faculty, staff, and administration who have guided, encouraged, and mentored our graduates through their years at this institution. Enable them to provide inspiration, scholarship, leadership, and vision that empowers our graduates beyond the boundaries of this campus and into the world. God, who is love, we are thankful for the accompaniment, care, and steadfastness of parents, family, and friends of our graduates along their educational journeys. Strengthen them to continue their support of our graduates, serving as a reminder of their roots and traditions while encouraging growth through new opportunities and challenges. God, who is wisdom, we rejoice in the scholastic achievements and personal growth demonstrated by the graduates of Boston University that we recognize today. Continue to guide them as they enter into the world to lead, to learn, and to show your love in their vocations and relationships with others. Help them through the challenges they may face ahead to apply the knowledge and skills they have gained at this institution to provide leadership, seek justice, and improve our world. God of grace, amidst our celebrations, we also remember those who struggle, suffer, or mourn. We lament systemic injustices that separate us from one another and the individual anxieties and trials that may feel too hard to bear. Grant that we may extend your love to all of those who are in need of it, that they may find comfort in your presence, especially those we name silently before you now. Receive these prayers, O God, and transform us through them, that we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand not only what you do on our behalf, but what you call us to do. Amen.
With the triumph.
May the sun show warm and bright on you, your darkest night a star shine through, your dullest morn a radiance brew, and when dusk comes, God's hand to you. God's blessing be upon us, O Lord, we ask. Grant us thy peace. Grant us thy peace. Grant us thy peace. Amen.